My name is Zim Coley, pastor at New Life Church Catford, alongside Remy, who's somewhere. Maybe he's helping with the kids today. But very warm welcome to you. It's good to see you. If it's your first Sunday especially, or if you're back after a while, it's very good to see you here this Sunday. We're going to be in Luke's Gospel. We're carrying on our series in Luke. We've been going through Luke's Gospel for a while now on Sundays, and we're in Luke chapter 13, verse 22 today. So why don't you turn in your Bibles to that. If someone finds a page number, shout it out, because it's not on the screen for some reason. So if you find 1,047. There is no 2,000 in our Bibles. 1,047. Luke chapter 13, beginning from verse 22. Great. Verse 22, Luke chapter 13. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go and tell that fox, I'll keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I'll reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Well, let me pray for us, and we're going to have a look at what God has to say to us today. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. You say through the prophet Isaiah that to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite in heart and who trembles at my word. So we pray, Lord, please give us humble hearts. Please give us contrite hearts that are willing to change their mind based on what you say to us today. Please help us to receive your word, not as merely the words of men, but as the word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So many of you might know about a book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. It is written by a guy called Nabil Qureshi. And Nabil was a Muslim man who had a friend called David, really his best friend, who was trying to help Nabil to see why he needed to turn to Jesus. And Nabil had his own mission. He was trying to help David see why actually that's not a good idea. He was trying to help David see that actually it's all a waste of time, that Christianity is not right. And this kind of went on for many years in their friendship. And eventually one year, Nabil was asleep and he was dreaming. And in his dream, he saw this banquet table. And he saw many people around the banquet table eating, having a good time. There was, you know, chicken stuffed with ham or whatever it is, and there's vegetables, and it's a great party. And he sees around the banquet table his friend David. And he sees David in there, and he wants to go to the banquet, but for some reason, he's not able to go in. He actually sees himself standing in his doorway, and the doorway is kind of in an arch in his dream. And for some reason, he's not walking in. And he shouts, you know, to David inside, "I thought we were going to eat together." And David looks at him and says, "You never responded." Nabil woke up kind of disturbed by this dream. It felt a bit too real, felt a bit too specific. And so he rang David that night, said, David, look what I dreamt. And David told him, well, just read Luke 13. And Nabil turned to Luke 13 in his Bible, and he looked at verse 24, and he read the words, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. He nearly had a heart attack. Oh my goodness. See, Nabil had been dreaming this very passage we're reading, and he had never read it before. And that was his dream. Now, I wonder what you make of that story. Maybe you think that was, wow, it's good for Nabil. That was pretty unique. I've never had a dream like that. But actually, the point of this afternoon is that it wasn't that unique. It was not that unique. Nabil, we might not share his dream, but Jesus would say we do share his choice. We share the choice that Nabil was faced with in Luke 13. We're going to be looking at that this afternoon. So look down at verse 22 with me. Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Now, there's some questions that preachers would give their right arm to have a stranger ask them. And have a look at verse 23. Literally, he comes up to Jesus, this guy. Excuse me, sir, just a quick question, quick one. Will only a few people be saved? You think? If someone asked me that, I'd be like, my friend, come, let's step into my office. let's have a long chat. It's like, you give your right arm for that. Actually, I remember once I was in town meeting up with this guy, helping him with his English. He wanted help with his English. And we sat down for an hour doing English practice. And I get up, I'm about to leave. And he's like, oh, just one question. What's Good Friday? Great, like, little question, right? Let's sit down for an hour. So it's that kind of situation. This guy asked Jesus, will only a few people be saved? And actually, praise God, Jesus is in the mood for taking requests that day, isn't he? Because he begins to answer this question. And we're not really sure why the guy asked this question. We do know that at this point, Jesus has been going around. He's been kind of street preaching from town to town. He's been teaching about the kingdom of God. And so maybe this guy's been hearing this teaching and is thinking, yeah, but what does it take to get in? How do people actually get into this? And he says, so will only a few people be saved? Jesus says this. It says, enter through the narrow door. We're going to look at that first. Enter through the narrow door. Have a look at verse 24. He said to them, notice he's now speaking to everyone. He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. In other words, just leave the hypothetical people on the desert island who have never heard about me. Leave them to me. I'm saying to you, you here hearing what I'm saying today, will you be saved? It's kind of what Jesus has pushed him to see. And so what does Jesus say about entering God's kingdom? He begins to say, verse 25, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Now, what I'm going to say next might make you think I've gone blind. But actually, I think this is a really positive thing. And you might be thinking, what's wrong with Zim? It's actually a really positive picture Jesus is painting here. Because look at this. Here's what Jesus is saying about God's kingdom. Imagine that, say, you have a new neighbor. And this new neighbor is moving into your street. And maybe you don't get to see them. Maybe you're a bit shy. But from your window, you're spying on them. You're kind of being nosy. And you're watching them unloading the van. And you're seeing all this stuff going in his house. The van's unloading. They've got like 65-inch TV going in. There's modern art going, you swear you see a Picasso going into their house. And you look and there's a chandelier being unloaded. And you're thinking, these guys lost. Like, don't they know this is Catford? Like, what are they doing? And they move in. And so the next morning, you're walking past the house. And you look and you see the door wide open. And you think, what is wrong with these people? And so you do them a favor, you run up to the door and you shut it. And then you walk off to work. Next morning, you're walking. Doors open again. You think, gosh, I can't believe this, guys. You go, you shut the door, you go off to work. And every morning for the whole week, this keeps happening. And you just can't take it anymore. So, you know, it comes Friday morning, you go up to the door, and you look inside, you go, is anyone there? And someone comes to the door. You go, what is wrong with you? Why is your door always open? This is Catford. And he says to you, like, oh, sorry, I thought someone would have explained to you. Look, it's open door policy in our house. Come in, like the whole street's been in here all week, actually. I thought you'd have heard about it. Like, there's jollof rice and everything in here. Come in. What are you talking about? And what took you so long? See, do you see that's the picture Jesus is painting? He's saying, actually, look, entering God's kingdom is open door policy. It's actually not that deep. Like, it's straightforward. It's quite an easy thing to enter God's kingdom. The door's open. Jesus is waiting inside of your supermarket and jollof. Like, it's straightforward. Like, it's not hard. See, God is a generous Savior. He's a generous Savior. Verse 29, people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. See what Jesus is saying? The Old Testament blessings of God's kingdom promised to Israel, through Jesus, is thrown wide open. Everyone can come. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, come and enjoy the blessings of God's rule, his kingdom. Okay, but there's an elephant in the room, isn't there? There's still a big elephant in the room, and it's this. Why is he going on about it being a narrow door? What's all this stuff about many not being able to enter? And what's all this about people being outside begging, shut out of the kingdom? We do need to deal with that, don't we? So it's a bit like this. We all know the experience. You're having a party. You're having a street party or something, some kind of evening party. You decide, I'm going to create a WhatsApp group for this party because it's huge. And you create a WhatsApp group, and you put all your friends on WhatsApp group. Party, you know, Thursday night, come along, and you send a message, and you know, there's always a few keynotes who straight away are like, yes, I'm going to be there. But to be honest, what do the rest of us do? If you're like me, what do? You go, I hope to be there. I should be able to make it. But we kind of live in this kind of FOMO culture, don't we, where we're fear of missing out, and so we kind of hedge our bets. But on the night, what happens? On the night, as the party's in full swing, what am I doing? Well, I'm on Instagram checking the messages and the photos. And it's like, oh, look, it looks like fun. And so I turn up 3-4 hours late to the party and like, yeah, I know him. And I go in. See, but here's the thing. Jesus is saying, look, I'm not some lonely host desperate for flaky friends. See, at some point, Jesus is saying, I'm going to shut the door and focus on the people who didn't take the mick out of my life. I'm going to shut the door and give them my attention and my kingdom. And when that door shuts, the timing, well, is different for each of us. See, none of us have control. None of us can predict when the time will come for us to meet our Maker. But the door will shut. Why do many people fail to enter the kingdom? See, the scary thing is it's not because they actually hate the idea. It's not that they actually hate the idea of going to God's kingdom, of being in God's kingdom, enjoying his rules. They don't really hate that. It's just they're too busy. Many people fail to enter just because they're too busy to get round to responding. Jesus explains this in Luke 14, the parable of the great banquet. You don't have to turn to it, but basically he says, I'm going to throw wide God's kingdom. I'm going to celebrate a great banquet, and everyone's welcome to come. But what do many people do? They tick the maybe box. Oh, I've got a wedding to go to. My job's busy, it pays well on Sundays. Many will fail to enter because they're too busy to get around to responding. And why is the door narrow? Well, I used to think, oh, maybe it's narrow because it's really hard. That's what I used to think. But actually, Jesus is saying it's not because it's hard. It's because there's only one invite to get you in. It's only my invite that gets you through the door, and you need to respond to that one invite. So it's narrow because there's one way. We need to respond to Jesus' invites to get into God's kingdom. Jesus doesn't say, look, stand and admire the door. Look, isn't that good cornicing around the top of the door? I love the way he painted that door. Jesus says, enter. Actually walk through the door. Don't stand and look at it. Don't and ah about it. Go through the door. See, the thing is, no one's ever been saved by having Christian friends. No one's ever been saved by having a Bible on their bedside. You need to actually ask Jesus, would you be my friend? Would you actually forgive me of my sins so that I can be with you in your kingdom? You need to actually open that Bible and submit to what God's word says. There's no such thing as salvation by association. And so many of you here are nice people. But if we fail to respond to Jesus' invites, well, look what he says twice. Verse 25, verse 27, he will say to us, I do not know you or where you are from. And he will say, depart from me, you evildoers. This is very straightforward. Jesus says, look, a true friend of mine actually responds to my invite. A true friend of mine actually responds to my invite. And so this choice that Jesus is saying we've got to make actually has eternal consequences. And we'll see that as Jesus says, actually, that there'll be feasting inside, but there'll be regrets outside. Look at verse 28 with me of chapter 13. Verse 28, Jesus says this, there'll be weeping there and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at a feast in the kingdom of God. Now, again, just slow down a bit. I'm going to say again that this is actually a really positive thing. Again, you're going to say Zim has gone blind. He's not reading the same passage. But it's actually a really, really positive thing. Because look at this. Jesus says, everyone who responds to my invite gets a place at the heavenly feast. There's a feast coming. I don't know what's the most memorable dinner party you've been to over the years. I remember it was a friend of mine who was getting married, and I was his best man. And he asked me to organize his stag dinner. And so, you know, I decided, right, everyone chip in some money. We all put some money in the pot. And we booked out this really nice German restaurant in the city of London. It was an amazing meal. You know, you just have Frankfurter sausage after Frankfurter. You know when the sausages are so long that they're hanging, like more than half of it is hanging off like the end of the bread, and you're like trying to eat it like this. So it's an amazing meal. And you had, you know, this. I can still taste the sweet German beer, like the taste of Kronbacher, amazing. And like, and the sauerkraut, don't diss the sauerkraut, if you don't know what that is, it's fine. Amazing meal. And by the end of the evening, we're stuffed, and you know, you can't move. And you sat there thinking, oh man, what an evening. I'm not going anywhere. And we think it's over. And then the groom's dad, he calls me over and says, come here. And I get up, and he kind of takes me to one side, and he presses his hand into mine, and I feel this wadge of cash. And I look down, there's like £300 cash. And he says to me, you guys have fun. Like, hero! Like, oh, come on! Like, we thought, just when you thought the evening was over, it's just beginning to get fun. And as Jesus is saying, it's going to be like this times 100 in God's kingdom. Look how Isaiah describes it. The prophet Isaiah says this. Just listen to these words. It's going to be a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, the finest of wines. Just imagine that. What a feast. You see, if you trust in Jesus, be excited. Be excited at the eternity that Jesus has in store for you. It is amazing. And you see, the best part will be the host. The best part will be the host. Jesus himself will be there. See, I don't know about you, but I often think that Jesus would just barely put up with me in eternity. I think he's just going to be like, just stay in one side, just don't make any trouble, just stand over there. I think he would just put up with me. But actually, this picture says Jesus is looking forward to enjoying a feast with you in eternity. Just think how the hairs on the back of your neck will stand up to see the Lord Jesus Christ actually enjoying your company. Just think about, you know, his infectious laugh as he welcomes each person personally, gives them a massive hug, even you. And maybe just think how, you know, you just be completely, you're there trying to eat, but actually you just can't eat because you're just looking and staring. Is that actually Jesus eating with us and he's munching with his people? You think, oh my goodness. And every now and again he looks up and he glances at you and beams a smile across the room. And you think, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. You see, but with that in mind, that is why it is utterly painful to think that anyone would choose to miss out on that. Utterly painful. We see verse 28, Jesus says that outside there will be weeping and gnashing, literally so distressed, people are grinding their teeth. See, the picture is of utter regret. I blew it. I achieved so much in this life, and at the end of the day, it's all been a waste. And that is the picture that Jesus is going to be utter regrets. That's what makes it so painful that anyone would choose to miss out. Because Here's the thing. Jesus says many people are going to be convinced that because this life is going so well, they must be doing something right. You know, got the Kylie Jenner look, tick. Got my own business, tick. Got a first class degree, tick. Life is going right. But do you hear Jesus' warning? Verse 30. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. He's saying there's going to be some serious reversal coming in eternity. You see, it's possible, Jesus says, to be the talk of town in this life and to be a profound failure in eternity. That is completely possible. See, if you're here and you're a Christian, just like me, you need to lovingly warn your career, idolizing family, your extension building neighbor, that it is possible to be the talk of town in this life and be a profound failure in eternity. And so the question we're left with is this: how can we avoid eternal regret? How can we avoid missing out on the feast in eternity? How can we enter the narrow door? And here's the last thing we're going to look at quickly, verse 31 to 35. Shelter in the prophet who must die. We're not going to spend much time in this. We'll have a look at verse 32. The key point there is this, isn't it? That Jesus is saying there's no threat or authority that's high enough to distract me from reaching my goal. That's really very clear. And so what is this goal? Verse 33, he says this: in any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. You see Jesus saying, I must reach Jerusalem. He's already on his way there. We got told in verse 22, that's where he's going. And he's saying, I must reach Jerusalem. He's made his mind up that he must die in the city that's got a track record of murdering God's messengers. I need to go there and let them do what they do to God's messengers to me. And why would anyone want such a thing? Well, verse 34, he tells us, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how long I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. As a kid, I had a neighbor when I was growing up. They actually had chickens, my next door neighbor. And I tell you what, I was really, really jealous of those fluffy little chicks. Like, I was really jealous of them, because what you'd see is these little yellow chicks, they would like waddle along, and then they would kind of come up to the mother hen and they'll make this kind of noise. And then, you know, what would happen is they'll come right next to her and, you know, she would lift her huge wings and then they would just like that, six little chicks disappeared. Safe, warm, comforted. And I look at this and think, what's wrong? I want that. These little chicks, loved and comforted by their mum. And Jesus is saying, look, I want to die because actually I'm longing to save rebels with that intensity of love. With that intensity of love, Jesus longs to welcome the very kind of people who want him dead. And he says, I need to die to make it possible. You see, we deserve judgment, don't we? But Jesus is on his way to the cross, and at the cross he shelters us. On the cross he takes the heat of God's wrath and anger at our sin, and we're left in safety. And so actually, how do we enter the narrow door? We enter the narrow door by receiving Jesus' offer of shelter. We stop being unwilling and we change our minds and we turn to him. We receive that shelter he's offering through the cross. Remember Nabil? Remember Nabil Qureshi? Now, some of you might know that sadly, he actually passed away in 2017. He died. He was only 34 when he died. And it just illustrates, doesn't it? No one knows when their time is coming. No one knows when the door is going to shut. Only 34. He could not have predicted that. And where is Nabil now? Where is he? Well, not long after he read Luke chapter 13, he changed his mind about Jesus. He bowed his knee and he prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, look, I admit that naturally I want to be the boss of my own life. I want to do things my way, decide what I think about God, live life my way, do things Nabil's way, not God's way. And he said, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord Jesus Christ, for my sins. through your death on the cross. And he says, I want to live for you as my king in God's kingdom. And so Nabil, praise God, entered through the narrow door. Nabil entered through the narrow door, and he's now with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's waiting for us to join him at the feast. And so the question comes back to us, have we today done what Nabil did? Have we entered through the narrow door? If you have, praise God. Thank God if you trust in Jesus. And why don't you keep praying for those friends, those families who haven't? Why don't you keep sharing with them the good news of Jesus Christ, even when they're not willing to respond? But if you haven't, if you're not sure that you've actually entered through the narrow door, what is stopping you? Why would you not do that today? What could be so precious that you'd forfeit an eternity in God's kingdom? I'm going to pray for us, and as usual, have some time to think these things through more, ask questions, but let me pray for us as we come to an end here. Jesus says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to.